Hi, this is Adam Carolla. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast on the Carolla Digital Network. Everyone here at Carolla Digital is very proud of the shows that we put out every week and are excited about the future of our network. However, a patent troll is threatening that future by suing us. We need to fight back and beat the troll down. If we go down, all the other shows on the other networks you've grown to love are going to go down next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll to donate and find out other ways that you can help beat the patent trolls. Thank you and mahalo. Buying a car can be a stressful experience. TrueCar.com is changing that forever. Simple, fair, and a fun way to buy a car. TrueCar users save time and money, helping them to never overpay.
You know you get the fair price because they show you what others paid for the car you're looking for. TrueCar analyzes what people are paying for their cars in your market and shares it with consumers so they never have to overpay.
Genius. Over a million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and users see an average savings of $3,046 off MSRP. Drew, stifle yourself. Three steps here.
All right.
Go to TrueCar.com. Yeah. All right was not stifling yourself. Go to TrueCar.com. Find out what other people paid.
Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings certificate.
Then take it to the TrueCar Certified Dealer for a hassle-free buying experience.
Save time, save money, never overpay. TrueCar.com.
This is Carolla Digital.
Hey, welcome to Dr. Drew Podcast. A couple things before we start. Reminder to please support those sponsors that support this show. Does this microphone sound funny to you? Like the compression's weird. Oh, well, be that as it may, let's continue on. Swingin' Sounds, Dr. Drew Podcast. That's a taste there we just heard. And the part two, long playing LP, is available as well at iTunes and at drdrew.com. And come on in and be sure to use the Amazon link at drdrew.com. Keep the winds in the sail of the Carolla fireship, pirate ship, which I've managed to maintain for the last year and a half. It's been about, and he hasn't kicked me off yet.
Here a couple months, yeah.
Yeah, I've been keel-hauled a couple times, but not actually thrown off the ship. Well, it's my pleasure to bring to the show today Lavelle Crawford. You guys know him as Saul Goodman's bodyguard on Breaking Bad. He was the big guy that was next to Bill Burr. It was you and Bill Burr, right, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, Bill Burr came in when we were swindling people and scaring the hell out of people. I was there every day. I was like,
you were the good guy.
Well, I guess. I was an employee.
I see. He started using you as a bodyguard.
Yeah. I was there every day telling people he was close.
Right.
Just looking like I was, you know, dangerous.
But when Walter White showed up to actually beat the shit out of him, he blew right past
you. Well, it was
you.
Really Aaron. It was Aaron. Jesse was.
That's right. Jesse. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, Walter didn't come in. Walter just used to kill people. Jesse come in. He beat the shit out of him. And I felt bad about it because, you know, I said they could have let me. They pulled a gun out on me. So at least I had an excuse. It's still, you know, Saul was mad at me, like, sure. What I hire you for? I was like, Jesus, man. I got to lose my life for $4.75 an hour? Come on, man.
That's a method actor. He's thinking it all the way through. None of that came out on the show, but yeah. It's all going on in Lavelle's head.
But he locked the door. That's what you get for locking this door. But
that's
see,
right.
in the first few takes, though, I knocked that door off the hinges, man, for real. I just rammed it like it was a big supported door, and I just took almost the whole studio down.
What?
I wish they would have left that in.
Was it in a sound set stage somewhere? Or was
yeah,
that
yeah.
It's, oh, know, so it's not just a building somewhere.
No. They had it was set up completely, you know, and it was reinforced and everything, and I took it out like a rhino, baby. It was just blew off the hinges. But when they showed it real like I busted the door over like a little bitch or something.
Yeah.
They kind of bitched me out a little bit. And then the gun was on me, and I was like, oh, God. I didn't even get to come over there and even get him or nothing.
I think a lot of people do know you, I bet, from Huel. That's the name of the character, right, on Breaking Bad. But I know you from – I first encountered you in the Last Comic Standing, where you was first runner-up. Should have fucking won that one. 2007, season 5. My wife and I found you. We were like, oh, my God, this guy's hysterical. Where is he going to be next? And then you start showing up on Chelsea a little bit, and you started going around doing stand-up. You can find all the stand-up dates upcoming at Lavelle, L-A-V-E-L-L, Crawford.net. C-R-E-W-F-O-R-D. Also follow his Twitter at Lavelle, again, L-A-V-E-L, the comic.
Yeah. I mean, I had to, because there's a lot of them out there. They got a Hugh Twitter.
A lot of Lavelles.
A Lavelle Twitter. I'm like, who are these people being?
They're not
me?
The comic.
That's it. No more. No, the nothing.
And now, are you going to figure prominently in the spinoff about Saul's the prequel that coming out in November is about Saul's life before Walter White, right?
Right, right.
Are you going to figure big in that one?
I hope so, man, but I haven't, you know, got any calls yet.
Not even to get cast
not yet. I don't know.
Oh, they've got to bring you
in. Man, I know. I don't know. I'm always the last one to know about anything in Hollywood. And now they'll probably have my contract done, and I'm saying, yeah, you report to work tomorrow,
3:30. Did you always want to be a comedic actor, or is this a surprise? Or this isn't even comedic. This is a serious acting role.
Yeah, well, I love every aspect of entertainment. You know, for real, when I was younger, I used to want to be an R&B singer. But,
no shit.
You know, I couldn't put down the cornbread.
Do you still sing?
I mean, you know, you in the feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my wife, I done just got some, you know, and I feel real, you know. R&B-ish.
Soulful.
Yeah, you know how it is, you know. You want to sing a little bit. And it had to be the spirit, because sometimes I can hold a note, and then sometimes I hear myself like, damn, shut up.
How old are you now?
45.
I really don't think that many people who have a real comedic talent also have a musical. Those things don't go together for me.
Well, Eddie Murphy tried.
Most comics admire musicians, like wish they had that,
right.
But just don't have it.
Nah.
That's really interesting. You have both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think I could pull it off, you know, if I had the right music and the right, you know, moments. I think I was surprised.
Did you train for a long time?
Well, I sang in a church choir since I was a kid.
So,
gospel. Gospel, yeah.
Did you ever train in any more classical music or just?
Well, in high school, I was in a choir and, you know, did a few, you know, learned the whole la 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 la, you know, all that, you know.
The basics.
Yeah, the basics, you know. So we was in a few competitions, so, you know.
That's, you know, cool.
Singing. I know.
Do you have an instrument too?
No.
Just voice, yeah.
No, I just played with my ding-a-ling. That's about it.
That's it, huh?
12 little bells,
kids?
One little string. I got three. I got three
no
kids.
Shit.
Well, I got two by marriage, and then one 3-year-old who he's enough.
How long have you been married? Or were you married still? Or you?
Yeah, we married. I'm still married. I mean, we fought today, so I don't know. We still married.
What do you fight about?
Nothing. You know,
none of my fucking business. Was what he just looked at me. Like, what the fuck?
Nah. I mean, you know, you're married, so you know. Yeah. I mean, so you know, how long you been married?
Almost 22 years.
Oh, shit. Y'all probably don't even know each other in the house no more.
No, because our kids are 20. We have triplets. We lived through
really?
Triplets.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Hell. Girls or boys?
Two boys and a girl.
Wow.
It's insane.
Wow.
Totally.
One time whip off, man. That's perfect.
Well, it was a fertility campaign. It was perfect, except it was hell for a while.
Yeah,
it was bad.
I bet that
but
is.
They're all out in college. They're 21 now and doing the thing.
Beautiful thing.
And when we were like, when they left, we're like, oh, that's right. We like each other.
Right.
We forgot about that. We like, get on. So we're having actually kind of fun now.
Yeah. And the thing about it, the older he gets, the more fun we're having. You know, because he's 3 now. We take him to daycare and we can have a little moment. But it's just kind of, I think I get, you know, kind of jealous because we got 2 older kids. And my daughter, they still live with us, my son.
How old are they?
My son's 23. He should be flying out of the nest sooner or later, you know, hopefully. But he's an aspiring actor. He's a good guy, man. He just, you know.
Can you help him with that at all, or just he's on his own?
Well, I be helping him by advising him.
Yeah.
But I got it on my own.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm a warrior. So, you know, I think it's best when you kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you cook and it tastes so good when you win it yourself.
Sure.
And I give him advice, but I'm telling him different techniques. Like I told him, get a commercial agent. Get all kind of venues don't just stick with theatrics because you don't never know where your way in is. Yeah. Me, I was blessed to be a comedian, and people think I'm funny, and I had a lot of success at it, so it opened up doors to, like, plays. I got to do plays. People wanted me in their plays, and then I got to do a few low-budget, you know, no-money movies, and then, you know, I got my opportunity.
What's your most way you make your living now? Is it stand-up or is it or combo?
Well, you know, stand-up is still the mainstay.
It's a good way to make a living, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just to travel sometimes.
I haven't seen you on Chelsea lately. How come?
You really want me to tell you?
Yeah.
You give me slick. You want me to pull the shit out. You sitting up here with a Chelsea cup, coffee.
You know,
cup.
That's kind of what I was thinking of that. But I got a Chelsea story, too. I'll share you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you. I mean, you know what? It's when you know, you see me on your show.
Yeah.
I'm a big presence.
Yeah.
Not literally and also because I'm a person. I have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a person. I'm a worldly guy. I watch. I read.
Yeah.
I listen. I've been in a lot of discussions. So, I mean, you know, I have stuff to talk about. I'm a comedian. I've been doing this 20-something years. Some of these comics come on there. They write down their bits, their best bits. They hanging in there. You know, I'm a guy. We come in, we can hash it out about anything pretty much. If I know about it, I'm going to talk about it. If not, I have questions about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was on there and I was, you know, keeping the audience. They was say the little joke and they want the other guy to say the little joke. And, you know, me, I would come in like, oh, hey, bring it back. And then Chelsea would try to demean me, you know, and I would get in her ass. And that was like the favorite thing on her. People loved it because I kept her in check.
Yeah.
So when she moved over to the new studio and she got in front of, you know, I guess the big wig, she had the sitcom, everything was blowing up for her because I was there when she was, you know.
Well, I was the third guest on the show.
Right, you know.
I was on that round table before they kicked, just having comedians. They used to have all kinds of people.
Right, exactly. I think I was on there the second month.
Yeah.
And I think after that I was going there all the time because they needed people to bring it. So anyway, long story short, we was on the big studio in Burbank. I was dressed nice for it. I wore a real fancy tailor-made vest and everything. And I'm playing. We having fun, but they're her minions, I call it. They, you know, this other comedian. I won't say her name, but she, you know.
Sarah?
No, it was Fortune.
Oh.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll say it now. But anyway, but she was on there, and she said a little bit. It didn't go nowhere. So I just, you know, I'm playing with her, but I guess she couldn't handle the banter. And they know how I am. But they didn't tell me, oh, pull back some, you know, the producers there, whatever. But whatever case may be, long story short, after that show, they was looking at each other, and I knew that I wasn't going to be on it no more because Chelsea said something smart to me. I shot her back and said, well, you know, I know it's an epileptic kid out there mad at you for stealing his dance move because she had danced in there. And then I guess the producer, I seen him, he was laughing, but he was looking at her like, oh, God. What's going on? This guy's taking over the show.
You're too funny.
Yeah. And whatever happened, they said I was bulldozing the other comedians. And after that, I wasn't on there no more. But now I got a SAG award. Kiss my ass.
What'd you get the SAG award for?
Breaking Bad, baby. Yeah.
Don't you think Adam would love, you got to get Lavelle on the ACS, right? Or on Adam and Drew.
Adam and Drew.
Yeah, Adam would love Lavelle because he thinks like you. He watches stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not like Adam, man. I watched this movie, The Bone About, he was a boxer.
Oh, now he'll be in love with you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I watched. It was pretty interesting.
See, are you kidding me?
It would have been a great story because it's really like, you know, Rocky all up in a championship fighting. But this guy, he really liked the Golden Globe and then he get a chance. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Tough Enough with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah,
just a lower level, you know?
He's gonna sleep with Lavelle. What the fuck are you talking about? He's gonna.
I love movies, man. I'm always, you know, I watch them. I love to be in them. You know, I like them because You know, I love stuff to tell the story. My wife, I don't like TV because it steals your ship to read. And I say, but shit, that's why books are what they are, because of movie.
Yeah.
You know, I like both of them.
Yeah,
you want to see trends. Like, I went to see Noah the other day, and I had to leave because I thought God was going to come down and thwart everybody in the movie, because I was, Jesus Christ, is this the Lord of the Rings meet the Bible? What the fuck?
So you didn't like it? You did like it.
I hated it. I hated it because it was so... If they would have went really far-fetched and just told some truth, because, like, in the truth of the part with the curse of Ham, you know, Ham, his son, supposed to have raped his daddy while he was drunk.
Yeah.
Now, they went down that street. I was like, okay, at least you're honest about that.
They did go down that street.
Yeah, they kind of, but they did.
So the Bible, if I remember right, says basically Noah was asleep.
Right.
And they washed his feet, which was code for had sex with him back in that, right?
Right.
Right.
But the brothers didn't look upon him. They covered him up.
Right.
But Ham,
while they had sex with him.
but the boy, well, you know, Shem had a gal, so he was cool. And Jezebel, you know, he was a little boy, so he didn't care. But Ham raped her because, hey, Dad, you killed my only chance for sex tells our nieces are grown up. Or I go out there and
hit LaBelle's practical version of the Bible.
Or I go over and hit this sheep. I mean, that's all I think I could do. I mean, there's no more women. That sucked.
Yeah.
And then they had this crazy guy on that made it on the ship. That wasn't in the Bible. Come on. Russell Crowe had to kill one more person.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe was going in. I mean, come on. Noah was really like a drunkard. He was not very athletic.
Right.
He was good with numbers and symmetry, but he was really a real nature guy. It should have been Tommy Chung.
I think the reality of the flood stories are in almost all the mythologies of that region at the time. I wonder if there wasn't like an asteroid that hit there and they had some kind of big tidal wave and the weather that followed or something. And it became this huge story.
But I know it wasn't no giant rock people knocking down trees.
Is that what they had in the movie?
They had these giant rock monster guys. But they were like fallen angels. But they were vulnerable. People could kill them, which I was like, "How are you killing a rock monster? Ain't no way."
There you go.
I mean, but it was the worst. It was so blasphemed, man.
Movie I don't need to see. Take that off my
list.
Yeah,
don't even go see it. I swear. Don't even wait for the coloring book.
How'd you and your wife meet?
We met in Atlanta.
Is that where you're from?
No, I was doing a show.
Where are you from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri, the home of the best baseball team in the world.
Cardinals.
Yeah, baby.
It's a great stadium, that Busch Stadium.
Yeah, they didn't change it, though, now. You know, now they're selling sushi and crap down there. They didn't really kind of ruin the whole nostalgia of a good baseball hot dog.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be burning fucking hot in the summertime. You're boiling them plastic seats. But when the Cardinals kicking ass, you didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, now they didn't change it up. I think they got air conditioning around
they
there.
They do?
What for?
Air conditioning.
Yeah, you go there to cool off. You go there to burn up and cheer your team on with a little burn on the back of your ass. Now they got it all changed up. I mean, the Cardinals still doing great. You know, I love the team, but I'm so glad that they didn't let Pujols be the reason why they would. You know, I was so happy about that.
So you met in Atlanta. How'd you guys meet?
Well, we met at this show. I was doing a show.
Stand up.
And it was sucky because it was like 30 comedians on the show.
So she was like a groupie?
No, I don't know. No, I ain't gonna say that. She said she was a fan, but she wanted to meet me. She said she wanted to meet me, and we went out, I really was mad because the show ran long. The lady made me do clean. Everybody else talking about vaginas and everything. I get up there, they made me do clean.
Why?
I don't know. It was crazy. It was a Browner Brother hair show.
Do you get strange? This is the second time we're talking about Chelsea riding you a little bit. Do people, are they afraid of you? They think you're going to like go
I don't know.
Way out there with stuff?
Not really. I'm not.
Or they can't trust your judgment?
I got great judgment.
I know you do. No, I know.
I don't know.
Do they see a big guy and they think, we can't, he's going to, you know, break the door down.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wonder if it's like a weird kind of what's the word I'm looking for? you know, they judge you because you're big or something.
Maybe,
it's sort of weird.
Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. But see, it was in Atlanta. They had a lot of Atlanta comics on there, and they probably had their favorites.
Yeah.
But they booked me because I was touring National Comic. But they thought, I guess, I could have did, you know, comics, you know. They ruthless will talk me out the back.
Yeah,
no, I know. Yeah. And, I could have did the headline, and, you know, but it wasn't no big deal. You could have. I could have went up first. Just give me my check.
Do you have comedic friends? Your comics that are friends of yours?
I'm cool with everybody.
It doesn't sound like it, which is kind of weird. I'm shocked to hear that.
But, I mean, no, it ain't that.
It's not coming from you. They're afraid of you in some weird way.
It's weird because that's how long. It's so weird you ask that because I wrote some stuff on Twitter and I got a lot of flack for it.
What'd you write?
I was talking about, I'm talking about black actors and black athletes, and I told them, beware, when you do one thing, you contend forever. It was coming off of Michael Vick's getting traded to New York. And they was talking about, I guess he'd be all right in New York because, you know, he didn't kill no footballs. He killed a dog or whatever. And I was just
so he's going to carry that forever.
Come on, this was a dog. I mean, you think about all these fucking murderous guys out here killing kids. And getting away with it.
Did you do something that they're pointing at you for, or blaming you for?
Nah, I'm not.
So just the one thing with
I
Chelsea.
I killed a dog, a bird, or nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
Big King or something, but I know.
No, I just wonder if they heard something or say, you know.
No, I was just really, got under my skin.
Yeah, sure.
I had watched 12 Years a Slave and all these little movies, and I kind of got, you know, I wanted to block.
What'd you think of that movie?
I had some funny bits about it. You know, I thought, you know, I just said, you just don't go get drunk with your white friends at Applebee's, you know, because you wake up after the pick cotton. You know, and I said, I can't go watch the movie with my white friends because I always get real belligerent with them afterward. You're like, screw you, Brian. Screw you. What? What did I do? You seen what you done. Look at the screen.
Is she black, your wife?
Huh?
Is your wife black?
My wife is black. Yeah. My wife is black. I'm too black for a white woman. My white woman couldn't handle me.
What does that mean?
She couldn't. I mean, because I'm black. And when I get black, I get super black. And I'd be like, bitch, what's your problem? You know, and she'd be like, oh, my God.
She wouldn't understand it.
She would probably.
Well, you used to do a lot of jokes about your family. I don't hear it so much anymore. But when you were doing Last Comic Standing, a lot of.
Oh, I still do.
Yeah.
I talk about my mom. And, I got jokes. I went to see my grandmother. And it was funny because my grandmother had, and I say this joke, and I wouldn't mean no harm, but she didn't have more strokes than a Masters tournament. So.
Oh my God. I hear them laughing through the window here. Wow, they like that one.
I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, she's God bless her, you know. But she how people with strokes they still try to talk.
Sure.
And she was talking to me, and you know, and I didn't understand shit she was saying. Yeah. You know, like talking to a cat. You know, like finally my cat wants to start talking English. You know, and I mean, she was just like, man. And then she was trying to tell me something about, you know, I misunderstood it. She was like, they don't, and it sounded like she said, they don't wash my pussy. You know, and I swear to God, that's what it sounded like. That she was telling me that the nurses would not wash her pussy. And I got angry. I went in there and I said, excuse me, man.
I got to clean this woman up.
You want to wash my grandma's pussy? I don't know what's going on in this nursing home, but her pussy needs to be washed. I don't want to talk about my grandma's pussy like this, but it needs to. And I mean, I was adamant, man. It was so funny. and she was like, no.
Oh, she knew what you were saying.
She knew exactly.
She had an expressive.
He was trying to grab me, but it was too late. I snapped. It was crazy, man. But they're good folk, man. You know, because I got an uncle. He's in there, too.
Oh.
And he has, you know, early sort of Alzheimer's. Yeah. And,
not so early if he's in a nursing home.
Yeah. Well, he's also, he had a brain tumor and he had taken out when he was younger.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know.
How many siblings you had?
I have three sisters. I got two sisters.
Oh, raise all girls.
All girls. Oh. and I'm the guy. And so when my wife and me fight, you know, I fought with sisters, so I know how to do it. You know, I can walk away from you. I can get in arguments. Because women don't fight fair. They say the truthful thing about you. Then you say the truthful things.
They can't take
it. And they're like, oh, okay. Is that how you feel?
Right. Is that how you want to go?
And then she brings up all day. You know, my husband doesn't like my cooking. For some reason, he says my fried chicken tastes like shit. I didn't say it tastes like shit. I said that you can use more seasons. That's what. You know, and then, but that'd be the run on thing for like 10 days. And I just don't even listen. And I hate when she's reading shit about marriages, you know, like somebody, if you write something like Dr. Drew says, if you meet a person, you boom, 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 and she'll read and say, my husband.
I got to get her in here
kiss
with
my
you.
Thighs.
I got to get her in here with you someday.
Well, yeah, she's welcome to come. She's welcome to come because she will bust me out. And I'll be probably sitting there like this. Yep.
You never speak to me again.
Right. But not me, because like we got to argue, we have a great day. And then one thing, like my wife, I had a bottle of water and she wasn't drinking it. And so I thought she didn't want it. So I said, hey, you still want this? What, it's too much for you to carry? I got the baby. You get it. Well, I said, well, damn, I just asked you, did you want it? Because we right by a trash can. You know what? Forget it. Yeah. Now I'm mad because it wasn't. And then she's a fighter. You know,
she's looking for a fight.
Yeah, she's a fighter. She'll go with you and she'll try to egg you on. And, you know, sometimes I had to break down and just walk away because I'd be like, you know what? I'm good at this. But if I go there with you, I'm going to be the most hated man in the world. But I love her. I love her dearly. She's beautiful. She's really out of my league. She's a hot looking woman. You
nice.
Know, but
good for you.
Yeah, you know.
Is she
people
up in Atlanta?
No, she actually from Chicago, and she lived in Mississippi. She was down there for the Browner Brothers show. And then it was strange enough that after the show, people was walking out on me, and I thought they thought I sucked. But they was leaving because the buses were taking them back to their hotels.
Jesus.
And I didn't know it was that late, you know. But I knew she was the one for me because she was telling me she was trying to calm me down from the bad situation.
Afterwards.
Yeah. She was like, no, they was loving you, but they had to leave because, you know, that's like you need that comforted voice.
Yeah.
And it's so strange. She whispered in my ear, where are you staying at? And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I bombed and I mean a chick tonight. This is great. But in the same aspect, I told her at Holiday Inn, and it was weird. We were staying right up the street from each other, but we didn't meet. But she left a message on my phone, and after I got her number, I called her, and we seemed like we talked until we got married.
No sex before we got married?
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, yes,
oh,
sex.
Yeah, we had a lot
of
course.
I mean,
yeah.
You made it seem like
I'm a Scorpio. I mean, what's that? I mean,
it sounded strange. Yeah. Struck my ears strange.
No. I was just saying we just stayed in touch so much. You know how you get work with something, you get with somebody?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how you and your wife met, but I mean, when you just clicked.
Yeah, yeah.
And how you just talk. And
right away.
And we can talk. When we're good, when we're happy, we can just talk about anything. And I think a lot of times we be missing each other. And sometimes you got to get our fights in because when I get busy, I get busy.
Does she get pissed about that? Like you're on the road too much, you're at work all the time.
But she knows the greater good of it.
No, I know,
she
but knows still they can get pissed about it.
Yeah, I think that she be trying to get me like this. Her cousin's having a birthday party. She wanted me to see if I could change the whole date. And I'm like, well, I can't. I'm not that star quality yet. I mean, I'm popular, but then you got George Wallace on the show. Also Cheryl Underwood, so I can't.
Wow.
I can't just say I want to change it to Tuesday instead of Saturday because I have things.
Sounds like a great show.
Oh, it's going to be a great show. I'm sure it is.
Is that on your website where it is and stuff, times?
Yeah, it's going to be in Atlanta. Not Atlanta, Detroit, I'm sorry, at the Fox Theater.
Now, you said your mom was – is that – where else? I interrupted you. Where, Fox Theater in Detroit, anything else you want to
I'll be in I don't know when it's going to air, but this weekend I'm at Tommy T's in the Pleasanton, California.
No, I think we.
Okay. Yeah.
Your wife's reading the. This will air is May 5th.
Okay.
A couple
weeks
out.
Okay.
You were saying your wife reads the stuff on Cosmo. Anything worthwhile that she picks up there? You know, the thing about Cosmo is 90% of it is about men, and it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Nothing any man gives a rat's ass about.
Nothing. It's things like I told my wife, like she was reading this book, this young lady, She's very talented. She found on Facebook, and I liked some picture she had on there because it was about some girl that was going through something. I think that, and then she seen her name was something Chanel, something Sykes, and she writes about telling women how to wear high heels and stuff in a certain places. So she reading these things, and she picks up some things that she said. I'm learning a few things. Talking about, you don't supposed to always dress sexy.
Chanel Cooper Sykes.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, but my wife, she seen that book and I downloaded it for her, and she's getting a lot of stuff from her. You know, but I said I'm simple.
I'm gonna tell you,
if you, hey, you know, you come and attack me at night, grab hold of it, I'm gonna give you to you all day. Whatever you want me to do. If you don't worry me about nothing, you get the world. Don't come and fuss. Don't bring the fight. You don't bring the fight. Just don't make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, men are so simple.
We simple. I mean, yeah, let me go fishing every once in a while. I mean, you have me forever. I mean, I don't have no grief. Because the thing about it is, I ain't lying to you. I'm yours. I don't have no extra women. I mean, you know, like she worried about women. I mean, man, I'm done with that.
And plus, not only that, if she's making you happy, you're not going to be thinking that way.
No, only time, and they don't believe this. They think men just cheat because our penis get hard. We're not feeling happy at
all. Well, when you're 20 or something, it's totally different. Yeah. They still think all men are like that when they're 20. They're not.
No, because when you're up in your 40s, you really don't want that extra hassle either. I mean, who is this? This is Chanel. You forgot about me? Oh, baby, you know it was a one-night stand. I don't even remember my children's birthdays. Because, I mean, I be forgetting stuff, you know, and I don't want to be messing up. And, you know, my calling my phone. I'm not into that iPhone because you can't hang up on people real fast.
It's hard,
that touch screen, you turn.
It takes a second.
You hang it up. You didn't redial. What? You didn't FaceTime.
Or it's one of these things.
You didn't FaceTime. Now my wife know what you look like. Oh, shit. Who is this? And she's butt naked too. wait a minute. But so I don't need that in my life. So my wife is good enough for me, and I don't know why she thinks that way. And she wants to travel, so I let her travel with me.
That's nice. So back to, did the child come with you too, or you stay with grandma or something? Or?
Well, we have babysitters. Yeah, I try to take him with him, but he's you know, they charge you for the tickets now. It's an extra price. Damn.
It's insane, yeah.
I mean, he need to get his freaking flyers up, man, so I can get a buddy pass or something for him.
Back to 12 Years a Slave. Seriously, do you think that was important? We've crossed into something, a higher level of awareness or consciousness or understanding.
I think anything about Black history is very important.
I thought it was an important film. And the way it was acknowledged too, I thought it was appropriate.
Because it's interesting because you didn't know. A lot of people don't know the free slave. You had free guys, free people.
Put to slavery. I started reading about it. It's like it happened all the time, it turned out.
But it makes sense. It's almost like, hey, man, I got a couple of guys over there. Thought they were free. They ain't going to be free in Georgia.
Oh, they're just making money out of
it. Yeah. And it's weird because,
it's smuggling. It's like any other property. It's like crazy shit.
Man.
I think we're not far enough into – let me put it this way. I don't mean to be pejorative or and maybe I have no business kind of talking about this stuff, but it's as though the Holocaust during World War II, we got our head around.
Yeah.
And we're not forgetting it. We're looking at it, examining it. But, you know, several hundred years of what we did to Africans is sort of not fully explored yet.
It's not even explained. And then the thing about
nor is explained what it's doing to people who are alive today. It transmits.
Sure.
It comes through.
Well, what is the whole thing is that the Willie Lynch thing, if you ever read that book, is like how the recipe for a slave is so crazy.
What is it? I'm going to read it.
Willie Lynch.
What's it about?
It's how to make a slave. It gave you all the little, it's a little handbook.
Was it like a handbook for back then?
Yeah, but it's crazy. The things that they done, where they took the man out of the house, destroyed him, made him
look. Yeah, they destroyed the family.
Killed him right in front of the boys. Ooh. So they made him look like this. Made him cling to his mother and made a drunk black man beat up on the woman to make her hate black men. And to a point, you know, I see it in my household with my wife. My stepkids, they so used to their mother because their father, you know, wasn't totally there, but it's, but me being in their lives, I think I enhanced them a whole bunch.
Of course.
And I look at my son, and I know that I enhance him a lot because when he sees me, he wakes up in the bed, Daddy, and he's up on me. And when he see, when I come
kids
home.
Kids hear that. They love
yeah,
that.
I mean, they,
did you have that? Was your dad around?
No.
See, no. And you know you missed it.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry.
There's your phone talking
to us. That's
my wife. Oh, let's talk to her. It's all right. You take it.
Hey, babe, I'm doing it. Hello? Hey, I'm in. Yeah.
Be cool with him.
I'm in this podcast, doing this podcast.
Tell you what, I'll take a break. Take a quick break. You can talk to your wife.
Okay.
Be right back. You talk to her.
Allison Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Thursday, we engaged in some hot wallet talk, and then Kevin Nealon wandered in. What's up, Kevin Nealon?
My notes. I don't know if they're still around or from the previous podcast.
Are they in your back pocket, Nealon?
Were they? You'll have to listen to find out. And then on Monday, I sat down with Matt Achety.
Oh, that guy?
To find out more about the man behind the Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, there's that guy.
Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
And back to our podcast again. This, what you're listening to now, is from that LP, Go Download It, It's Good. We're coming up with another one soon. You got to send me more music, by the way. I know you guys are working on that. Yeah, your wife, the fire, what is it? A nuclear explosion? She's going to the hospital?
No. No, she needs some rubber gloves.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, Mr. Important. I understand right. You're doing a podcast, but yeah. I need some gloves, man.
Right, right. The podcast's done. When are you going to be done? Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I do.
And entertainment field is just not as respected. I mean, even it pays all the bills in the house, but then everybody just looking at it like, well, you know, he doing well.
He's just having fun. Just talking to his friends.
I wish I could go out of that. Come on, man. No, you don't.
That's right.
I mean, because when you get out there, it's a job. Trust me.
And believe me, when I was gone at the hospital practicing medicine all the time, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing something important? Really? We can't take a second to talk to us? Like, yeah, there's somebody dying right in front of me. Yeah, same stuff. Same
well,
thing.
Hold the suture. Let me go see
just
what
hang on,
all
hang
about.
On. Just, I know we're talking about your mom's death. Hang on a second. Anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah. Glove? The glove? Do you need the glove? Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Bobby wrote on the wall. He wrote on the wall. I just want to let you know he wrote on the wall. Okay, thank you. All right, back to medicine.
All right, so but this whole – the consciousness about it, I think we've gone through a phase where and by the way, I think the Jim Crow thing had more of an impact than people really realized too, because it was immediate.
Sure.
And it was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was massive. It was no bullshit. You know?
And man, like I said, the 12 years of slave thing wasn't even barely – like Frederick Douglass' story. I don't know if you ever read Frederick Douglass' story. It's almost similar in so many ways. But the thing about it is, it's just the thing about, I think the whole fear and the separation we have is like the Jim Crow, and then the lack of knowing in history books. So you know about Schindler's List. You know about Anne Frank.
Right.
But it's only like a drop of stories about slavery.
Well, but I think there was so much there was shame about it.
Yeah.
So the white guys felt shame. Black guys were touchy, and so they don't want to bring it up. I was like, okay, everything's good now, right?
Well,
right
the
right.
more you know, the less angry you would get, because you're like, okay, I know what's going on,
where this comes
but it's
from.
Not going to hold me back.
Right.
It's just like being a Jewish boy. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and be like, hell, I'm never going to Germany. I'm not German. I'm never going to eat a Frankfurter. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to buy a German car.
Right. No, I'm not going to BMW. Hell with them. You know, but, I mean, it's like... It's illogical because I know more Jews in BMWs than I know in
although
Germany.
My father-in-law fought in the Pacific during World War II. Right. He's still got a weird stuff about Japanese.
Yeah.
He still feels weird.
Well, see, he was right there in front of
but
it.
But I'm saying, though, that's...
Yeah, but the Japanese wasn't no joke, though. You got... I'm telling you, that's why they dropped that bomb on them, because I'll tell you right now, baby, them boys was... And Vietnamese, neither one. They wasn't no joke. I'm just saying. I ain't going to start nothing, but I mean, we know. We know the movies that they make, like Apocalypse Now and all the movies like that, they made it for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they remember, them guys remember that. It was a rough time.
It was tough.
But for your history, I think everybody knows history. I think where we are, I don't know what I don't want to get into it to a point where I make people think that, oh, he's just talking. But I think my people, you know, being, you know, African American,
who are you afraid of offending? Everybody or white or black or everybody?
No, I'm not offended. I don't want nobody to be talking like I'm a soothsayer or
no, but you're entitled to an opinion. I mean, yeah. That's the point. We got to start talking about this.
I'll keep it real with you. I mean, we got some very powerful, intelligent people, not just in athletes. I mean, it's okay, for actors. In the president. And, you know, but I look at even the people that couldn't become president that some of these young people that don't even know their value are getting hindered because of they believing that, oh, I know they ain't going to let me do this. I know they ain't going to do me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because when I was blessed, I didn't like when I was transferred to a white school. And, you know, because it was predominantly white, and the teachers didn't like me either because I was getting in trouble every day. I mean, every day. I had from a black school where I had white teachers to a white school where they wasn't used to black children. You know, my sister now, she had love because she was a cute little girl and she was really
behave herself.
Gentle, but a little black boy, oh, they gave me shit. And I remember, like, I got knocked out by some kid, and I was in trouble.
Literally knocked out.
Literally knocked out. I was knocked. The kid, we was me and this kid, friend of mine, Scott Roberts, was racing down the hallway. This kid, I seen him step in front of me, Jeff Goodman. I'll never forget it. He stepped in front of me.
Tripped
you. I woke up. I'm in the principal's office. And they called my mother.
Were you big as a kid, too?
Not really. Yeah, I was chunky.
Yeah, but average.
You know, but I was average. Yeah. You know, I was average. I mean, I wore husky clothes, you know, but I mean, I was a little fat kid.
Did you play football?
Yeah, I played football. I wrestled.
Did that help bring you in with everybody?
Yeah. I mean, football and wrestling. Wrestling really brought me because I went to state, you know.
They were proud of you.
Yeah. They, you know, I started becoming a man. I felt good about myself.
Yeah.
You know, because football, I played and I was good. But, you know, and there's so many coaches how they talk to you. Some coaches were nurturing, some were assholes.
Yeah.
But wrestling, you was out there by yourself, and when you could beat a guy that you think you couldn't beat, guy be like one guy I wrestled, he was like 6'6".
Wow.
I was like about 5'7", 5'8", and I wound up taking him out. I hurt his leg, but he couldn't move, and I got him on his back, and I pinned him, and I freaked out. I thought I couldn't beat him. I was just like, yeah! Yeah, I walk around. Yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm shivering. I'm crying. You know, but it was a great feeling. Then I got to state, and the guy pinned me in 14 seconds.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he had a chest like a dresser, man. I mean, his name was Rex Livingston. I'll never forget him. I mean, he picked me. This was in Jeff City.
Like 1985.
Yeah, it was 85. And then he grabbed me like a little baby and just laid me down. And I tried it. I'm going, no. And I rolled on my stomach. Rolled back over.
That was it.
He just patted me. Just lay that big boy. Lay that little boy. Lay down. And I just went to sleep with my thumb in my mouth. I was able to get my little certificate and everything in state. But he beat me so fast.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. He was so strong. I mean, Jesus.
It's interesting that you liked even then these solo events. I mean, stand-up is a solo thing. You know?
I did. I guess I did, you know, like to be, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yourself.
Because I couldn't really – I never had nobody I could rely on. You know, I had – my mother, then she was supportive, but she was afraid.
What was she like?
She was a wonderful woman. You know, she raised three kids by herself. My dad, you know, he was gone. He left.
He's still around?
Yeah, he's around. He came back in our life after a few years, found out he was gay. It's strange, you know. He found out, you know, his significant other passed away about 3 months ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Just old?
I don't know. He was going through a few things.
Ooh.
And he said it was cancer. I didn't know.
Okay.
And my dad is going through prostate cancer problems. Right. You know, so.
Is he all right?
Yeah.
I have prostate cancer. I had a big operation.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's all done.
Yeah, you know, he's a bodybuilder. He's strange enough. He's a bodybuilder.
Did he take steroids?
No.
Because that's interesting. Maybe the prostate cancer came from that.
No. I don't think so. He's natural because he ain't huge. He's not a huge guy. He's about 165.
So he's small.
You know, I had a picture of him online. You had to look it up. He's not a big guy. But he was good. He looked good. He
good
looked
for
good
him,
for his age. He did good. He won his age range all the time. And he got out of it because his significant got sick. But he's a selfish dude.
Your dad.
Yeah.
Does he work now? Is he?
Well, he does pretty good. He owns one of those, medical building companies.
Oh, good for him, yeah.
He made like, his business worth about $20 million.
Whoa, that's a big deal.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's doing pretty good, you know.
Get him to send your kids through college.
He didn't do none of that.
He didn't do none of that. Tax free.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to help out with that.
Right. He didn't do nothing like that. I helped my sister go to college.
I paid
for their weddings.
Oh, my God.
I paid for my mother's second wedding.
Your dad owes you some money.
you think so?
You ever have that talk with him like that?
Yeah. You know, it's the thing about that would bring up resurgence of other things.
Yeah.
You know, and then him on top of he being gay. You know, just left my mama for a man, and my mom, you know, she told me, "Oh, he left me. I guess I wasn't woman enough." I said, "No, mom, you wasn't man enough. Come on, relax."
Right. Oh, she blamed herself for
being gay. Yeah, she was hurt about it, you know, because she didn't know. She didn't know he was gay.
Well, he may not have known back then.
Well, he said he kind of knew he was bisexual.
Oh yeah,
but his family knew. And my wife used to say that all the time. I think he has to be gay because why wouldn't he want to come around his children? I said, why no black man want to come around his children?
What is that?
Huh?
What do you think that is?
I guess sometimes it'd be just they never had it and they just think.
How do we break that?
I think you need to stay your ass in the home no matter what. I mean, I'm there with my son through everything.
But how'd you get that message?
Well, I learned it from my granddaddy. Mm. My granddaddy, and I had some good uncles. My uncles, Raymond, he left his wife. He paid. He has had about five houses. He sold all the houses, put them in money market accounts, paid all their bills where she wouldn't have to worry about bills the rest of her life. He probably left her about probably about $2 million.
Wow.
You know, and my Uncle KB, he graduated from Western University. He's been married a few times, but he takes care of all his kids, and he's married now, and he's been with this woman for almost, going on about 12, 11 years. And, you know, I mean, he's my Uncle Floyd and all of them are good. Me and my Uncle Jesse, I just lost my auntie a week ago, and she was, you know, they had been together forever. So you can see where my grandfather was a good father and stayed there, and they turned out to be good fathers. So that all made me see at least know where a man is.
Yeah.
Some guys see that's why even my stepson, I try to be there to let him know, even through the crap.
Yeah.
And women just women, you know. Women gonna have that moment where they gonna make you wanna say, you know what, hell with this shit. I'm gone. Yeah. You know, but that's the, you know, if you let that get you, anything can get you.
Right. Women tend to suck it all up.
Yeah.
You know, they ended up taking the kid, taking everything, just sucking it up, doing the job.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
No, it ain't. You know, and I understand that with my wife, where she had to take care. She was a teen. She was a kid when she raised her kids. Yeah. And so, you know, now that she got my son, I know it's kind of a struggle. Because
so your kids are stepkids of hers? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. But my son is
mine. Yours. Yeah.
Yeah. But
you having fun with him?
I love him, man.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
I love that dude. I mean, that's my buddy. Your wife calling now?
Yes, it is. Let's see what it is. You can tell just by the way we respond and pick it up, right?
Right.
Who else is calling us while we're working?
Hilarious.
Let's see. Oh, there. Okay. My daughter, of course. We got the two up working right now. So it's all good.
Right.
Well, I wish, back to the 12 years of slave stuff, I hope the conversation just keeps going because it, 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 The more we understand about the impact of all that, we shouldn't shrink from it. We shouldn't be afraid of it.
I think Roots was like an impact, very impactful.
That's where it started, right?
Yeah, I mean,
But go look at that now. It's like a cartoon compared to what really went down, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
In some ways, because they made it for TV. But
it's sanitized.
But, right, they made it. Because if they had the real Roots, but then you remember Mandingo.
Yeah.
What you mean? Sankofa.
What was that now?
Sankofa, that was probably one of them real ones.
Oh yeah,
where they did some. I mean, that wasn't no Disney slave movie.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's a.
But we got to talk about the impact it has on people and their families, their thinking, and get more sort of thoughtful about it.
But the funny thing about it is though that older I watch older white people that watch it, they try to like,
12 Years a Slave, man.
Yeah. They watch it and be like, I don't know where did that come from? Because some of them try to block it out, man.
Like it didn't happen.
I don't know if that's all.
Or that's just movies. That's just Hollywood.
Yeah, what story? That was a horrible. Where were some people at? Okay, but see. And then to think about it, it's like, oh, why do people always want to talk about black folks always talking about their struggle? I mean, the thing is, the sad thing about it is a lot of them are still struggling.
Yeah.
And then, but they can't, some of them don't want to use the excuse, but it seems like it always come back to that.
Well, some at very least, some of it gets transmitted. That's hundreds of years of trauma that still kind of comes through, yeah, you know, through the generation.
But it's just 100. It's not that long ago.
Well, that's why I said the Jim Crow thing is, yeah. I think, just put a little
all
weird PTSD on it.
You know, you look at maybe 200 years, maybe.
Well, yeah. Thomas Jefferson said that. He said, he goes, when slavery ends, he predicted it would end. It'll take 200 years for it to wash out. It's his words.
And it's the truth. It's still around, still festering because – and I think the thing about us is we're so separate. I think, you know, that's why I was –
But there's some value in that too. That's part of the problem. You want it. You want some of the separateness. You said it. You open with how black you are and white women couldn't handle you. And you value that.
We don't want
that to go away.
No. I'm not talking about – I'm talking about in the black community.
You separate the community from the
world. The black folks are separate.
Yeah.
You know, we're not bonded like we used to be.
Separate amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because.
Less unified.
Yeah. Oh, man, I mean, back in the day when, you know, we had Huey Newton, all that.
Yeah.
Brotherhood and brother, where my brother.
Yeah, yeah.
All that was, we were conjoined because we had one thing. When black women got women's rights, then they thinking, oh, I need women's rights, my man hold me down, which the black man wasn't there.
Yeah.
He really wasn't there. So he wasn't holding you down like the white woman. Her husband probably was kicking her ass and, you know, get up there and make me something, Sally. You know, some shit like
that.
Well,
there's this whole thing right now of the black women being so educated.
Yeah.
And then they don't have a black man that they can sort of select. They'd like to have a black partner, but they can't. He's not. Not there. He's not there with them, or there are so few of them, or something.
And the thing about it, he's there, but he ain't on. It's some educated brothers, but it's also brothers that can hang with you. But sometimes you might have to pull.
Well,
them
the
up.
Other thing, but those guys now are so in demand. They're like, well, I'm not going to settle down, right? Why should they? The marketplace is working in their favor,
I mean, if they think that way, that's a shame.
There's an African American guy, Stanford law professor, wrote a book about this.
Right.
I should get it for you. It's kind of an interesting sociological thing. It's something. Uh-huh. It's got to change a little bit.
Okay,
but I think we can't change if we don't keep talking about it.
Sure.
But as we were saying, this trauma that kind of comes through, I white people aren't experiencing it, and black people experience it every day,
right?
And white people need to understand it much, much better. I like, for instance, the idea that black women want to straighten their hair and not, you know, you've got this great hair. Why not? Why do you want to look at women? And that's a weird – why? We got to talk about that.
It's a weird thing that they think because, see, in our eyes and on our advertisement and our televisions and in our magazines.
Too much white images?
Yeah. You know, because you want to – you want some of the white girl assets with the black girl assets mixed in. Some guys. But me, I think a woman's beautiful If she wear her hair in an afro,
yeah,
kinky, whatever, well, that, it don't matter to me.
Right. And it's kind of nice they have options. It's sure. great. They can do what they want.
And my wife, and I tell her that, you know, and sometimes she be scared thinking that she won't feel comfortable. Like a little girl that I know, her mother, before she passed away, she said, I'm getting tired of this natural look because it take a little bit to keep it going.
Some work, yeah.
You know, a little bit to keep it combed,
yeah.
this and that. But it's still beautiful, though, because when it looks, you know, it looks like you. It brings out your natural essence.
Yeah.
You know, because back in the day, man, I grew up in that Jerry Curl era where I wore that and shit. And I'm in that, wearing that.
Did you have big hair?
No, I had a curl that slicked down, curl. I had an afro back in the day, though, when I was a kid. And I wish I would have kept my afro because I used to wear the cornrows and all that. And it kind of, that kind of burned me. That's why I got the bald spots in my head because I tried to get the permanence in there and then chemicals and burned up all my nice little mane up there. But I look at it all, even in this entertainment field. Entertainment field is one of the most ethnically diverse. I ain't even going to say diverse. I'm going to say ethnically separated occupation you got to be in because they allowed to say, I'm looking for an African-American of certain size, width, or whatever. But in Black Hollywood, we got a lot of talented people that are getting looked over because it ain't all kind of roles, you know. But all my roles then came from regular Hollywood or, you know, white Hollywood if you want to put a color on it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put a color on, but I just say regular Hollywood. And all my opportunities came. I've been on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I've been on The Workaholics. I've been on Breaking Bad. I haven't been on too much black except for the low budget. And they see that I'm shining, but we don't get together because of the fear of how strong I am. Just like Chelsea Lady afraid, you know, it's just so afraid. You know, it's weird.
It is weird.
You know, it's weird because
see, I don't experience you that way. And it's so weird that we started with Chelsea. Let's sort of finish with that. I don't understand where I swear to God, it's got to be some sort of weird discrimination of your size.
And maybe it is a little bit of size because
they're intimidated.
Yeah, because a big guy, you know. But I mean, if I was Ralphie May, would it still be a fear? You understand?
Yeah.
Because you know, Ralphie Gage is a big guy, but me being a big guy with wide shoulders and be able to look like I can turn over the table, you know, maybe that to the point where, but he's also vocal and he's talking. It's almost, I feel, you know, and I hate to say this, but are you familiar with comic books?
Yeah.
Do you, DC Comics, you remember one of the Superman's,
and
the Flash enemies was Grog.
I don't remember
Grog, the gorilla.
Okay.
Grog, he was very intelligent, right?
Gary knows him.
You know, Grog.
Well, am I always going to put a picture up here for you?
Yeah, Grog was super intelligent. He came from
So Grog's your model?
Right. Well, a civilization of all intelligent gorillas. They were very powerful, but they were smart as shit and made all kind of stuff. So when Grog come into, you know, he's fighting for, you know, he's a villain, but he wants all of the world. He don't want to just be in our world. Why we judge and why do you got some of my people?
It's Grog.
Yeah. You know, why do you got some of our people stuck in cages? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Grog, look at that, you know? And so that's how I feel. That's how it's different ways you feel in the entertainment field, just like with Chelsea, they were afraid, and it's not I'm angry because she hasn't stopped anything. You'll never stop me, but the funny thing is you gonna hinder me from making your show right because you watch it now, it slowed down. It has slowed down a lot. It really has. It's all about her, and the thing about it, she can't really carry it. You pick on everybody on your show. Joe Coy, you talk about him, call him a homosexual, and he's not.
Yeah.
Why would you make that guy look like that? He's on national TV, and all these women looking at me, you calling me gay, and I can't meet no woman because some of the women might really think he's gay, and he got a little boy, and he's a regular guy. And all the other guys are just yes men. You don't have nobody to give you no, like Bill Maher. You watch his show, he has people on there that are like, fuck you, Bill Maher. Yeah. Fuck you. And I like that. Yeah. You be a man about yours. Don't be having me on your show and I go, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say, but well, that Lindsay Lohan, boy, she's a whore. Man, come on, man. Leave Lindsay alone. We know she's a whore. Jesus. All of them get whore in them up here when they get in this Hollywood. That's the only way they can stay famous is they whore themselves out. I mean, Jesus. I mean, look at Miley Cyrus. I mean, that's another thing I posted on her up there. Miley Cyrus, I said she was out there. She started being a whore, and she did a porno, and now she's famous. Janet Jackson showed her titty by accident on the Super Bowl. She's been condemned forever.
Well, it's interesting. Women who use their sexuality and are young, there's a special sort of energy we direct their way. And you're saying an African-American woman gets an extra burden. I have no doubt that's true.
But she broke up Robin Thicke and his wife because Robin Thicke, they claimed she lied and said that she was cool with it, but she wasn't cool with it.
She wasn't cool with it.
But she was just playing a role, so she got out there.
I heard him do an interview with Stern, and he was there in kind of this open relationship, and that shit never works.
No.
Man, come on. Never works.
Open
for business.
Because, you know, a woman is not sharing her man. If she
and
open.
Listen, are you going to share with your wife? No.
Hell no.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean,
eventually it gets to you. Eventually it does, especially as you get older. And you want to like have a stable relationship. You can't do that.
You don't, man. You want your wife. Y'all been together 20 years. I wish your woman would come in and like, Dr. Drew, I want to give you a massage in front of your wife. Will she be considered that? Yeah,
isn't
I guess
she cool?
So. Yeah, as long as I'm dead and I got bullet wounds in my back, sure, rub me down. Castrate me as you do it, too. Please.
Lavelle, we got to wrap this up. It's been a pleasure as I knew it would be. I want you back. I want you back on Adam and Drew. I can't get enough of you, man.
I love it, man.
So, really.
I'm glad. I want a podcast. How do you get a podcast?
Well, let's talk to these guys in here. They look like they're ready to work for you.
Yeah, I love it.
We got to keep this conversation going. We're going to solve the world's problems, man.
Yeah,
you and I.
Hey, man, you know, like I tell people, I ain't trying to change the world. I'm just trying to change your mind.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm trying to do.
Leave it at that, guys. Yes, see you next time.
For call-in times and topics, follow the show on Twitter at Dr. Drew Podcast. That's D-R-D-R-E-W Podcast. The music from today's episode can be found on the Swingin' Sounds of the Dr. Drew Podcast, now available on iTunes. And while you're there, don't forget to rate the show. The Dr. Drew Podcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana and Gary Smith. For more information, go to drdrew.com. This is Corolla Digital.